identity. The masses provided for multiplicity.
Picture him hit his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying for another option to end the peace. The possibilities stay limited to a little T. Hitting the hill and hearing the metal clink. Look at the sweaty bleed. Such blood is the only remedy to ransom the lost and setting the sinners free. He did it willingly, being punished like he's an enemy, enduring the pain and taking the penalty. And then he intercedes, saying to the Father, forgive him, please. They don't know what they're doing by killing me. Gotta be kidding me. Suffocation draining his energy, though they're slowly killing him, yet he's still a beast. Begging for pity, please. Taking care of responsibility, fulfilling the prophecies of his ministry. I know that many sleep, but commitment is what we really see, reflecting the image of him who never leaves.
Check out my melody, faithfulness is the fidelity of my soundtrack to that of the heavenly reliability. Staying true to the new identity, the masses provided for multiplicity. Check out my melody, faithfulness is the fidelity of my soundtrack to that of the heavenly reliability. Staying true to the new identity, the masses provided for multiplicity.
What is fidelity? Does it only mean that you never cheat? Does anybody know what it really means? It can be very deep, but it's simple as an ability, the accurate reproduction of imagery. So let's consider these. In the garden, Adam was given Eve, called to reflect a pattern of better things, something they never seen. His dominion was over everything, showing the kingdom and God's supremacy. Even the Trinity, the community that was meant to be, seen in the way that Adam connects to Eve. Though she was never queen, there's equality and a head is seen. Adam's essentially God, arrest the king. Then there's a felony, they had eaten from the forbidden tree, ruining Eden and the serenity. But this is bittersweet, God is speaking to them in elegy of crushing the devil's head like a jelly bean.
Check out my melody, faithfulness is the fidelity of my soundtrack to that of the heavenly reliability. Staying true to the new identity, the masses provided for multiplicity. Check out my melody, faithfulness is the fidelity of my soundtrack to that of the heavenly reliability. Staying true to the new identity, the masses provided for multiplicity.
Yo, now let me set the scene. Mary is supposed to beget the seed. He's not the son of Joseph, no Billy Jean, but he's the Prince of Peace, the invisible Father visibly. He's the redemption of godly imaging. Now that we've been redeemed, we can show the Father more vividly by doing what Jesus modeled while visiting. Follow his legacy, men of faith who got it through pedigree, faithful to live the gospel and let it breathe. After the reckoning, he'll entrust us with even bigger things if we show faithfulness in the little things. When you accept the king, you accept the role of his embassy, repping the reign of God where you're sent to be. Applicability, let me simplify the complexity. Do what you say and be where you said you'd be. Judges 11, read, never make a vow you can never keep. These are the reasons our faith is set at ease. And if you're set to preach, then proclaim the gospel in clarity, spreading his fame and guarding from heresy. And if you're shepherding, do the same with the godly jealousy, feeding his sheep and leading them zealously. And if you're selling weed, then repent and call it embarrassing, thought of in retrospect and regrettably. Alter your destiny, what we offer you is a treasury. Homie, the kingdom of God is beckoning.
Good evening. Good evening. We welcome you to Running for Christ Ministries Wednesday night Bible class. My name is Deacon Charles. Well, my name is Charles Tate, but I'm affectionately called Deacon Charles Tate. And we're really glad that you can be here with us on this Wednesday night. There's some things I would ask you to do before we get started. Try to keep all background noise to a minimum. Don't hesitate to chime in if you got any questions or comments. And with that being said, let's go ahead and pray and get started with this class. Lord God, our Father, we thank you. Father, first of all, we thank you that you thought enough of us a long time ago that we might be in this place we are, but you opened up the door of salvation for each and every one of us. And Lord, right now, as we look into your word, the word that you've given us, it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Father. It is a way that we can just navigate through this world that we're in. But let us hear and be able to see and be able to take in what it is that you mean for us to hear. Tonight, we get to talk about one of your servants, Amos. And just like the beginning of that song that it was played, and I thank Pastor O for playing that song because The young men that were doing that Christian rap spoke very boldly about you with no hesitation whatsoever. We ask you just give us ears to hear and show us what you mean, show us what you want us to do as we move through this lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, do I have any good morning, good evening? How's everybody doing out there? That's Sister Rebecca, wasn't it? Yeah, good. We're going into our lesson, and the title of our lesson this evening, A Rebuke from the Lord. So, as usual, we're going to start by reading our scripture lesson text. So, with somebody, we're on page, I think that would be page 55, if you got your book. And I need somebody to read that scripture lesson text for me.
Okay, I'll read it. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Cheam, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my sister. Appreciate that. Okay, once again, the title of the lesson this evening is A Rebuke from the Lord. And the golden text. Is anybody else out there? Do you want to read that golden text for me?
I can read it.
Go right ahead.
Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. Amos 5:15.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. That was my wife, Jill. But anyway, so... Okay, we're going to move right along. First off, I got to tell you, say this about Amos. Amos was just a shepherd, but Amos was more than a shepherd. Amos was somebody that heard directly from the Lord. And when Amos heard directly from the Lord, he moved exactly on what the Lord said. Now, sometimes we might think of a shepherd as being a lowly individual or something like that. But as I was doing some reading through about the minor prophets, like we call them, they weren't so minor. Like I said, he was just an everyday man. But one thing that Amos did, one thing that really jumped out at me when I started reading about Amos is that Amos did not fear anybody but God. None whatsoever. And, you know, back in the day, we think of shepherds now as just being somebody that's meek and lowly, but we know, too, that David was a shepherd. And a lot of other great men in the Bible just held positions. But once they heard from the Lord, I mean, can you stop and imagine if you heard from the Lord himself, the boldness and the courage, that's why I like that song we first heard, the boldness and the courage that you, because once you hear from God, like I said a few minutes ago, you don't fear anybody but God. So let's move into our lesson exposition. The first part of it says a godly lifestyle, Amos 5:14-15. Does anybody want to read that? I appreciate it.
I will. It says,
what's up, Kat?
Hey. It says, seeking good. This chapter begins as a funeral bench. A dirge.
There you go. Funeral dirge. Uh-huh.
Dirge. For Israel. But Amos still calls for them to seek God in hopes of escaping his judgment. 5:4-6. Another call is given in verse 14 where the prophet said the Israelites ought to seek good instead of evil. As his people obey him and walk in his ways, the Lord walks with them through the challenges of life. Amen.
Okay. You got your Bible, read that Amos 5:4-6 for me, Kat.
Keep going.
I said, no, if you got your Bible, you read, uh-huh, before we go any further, read that Amos 5:4-6 for me. Or if somebody would.
Okay, Amos 5:4-6.
Yep.
I don't want to take up the whole class. Somebody get it before
That's
all right.
That's all right.
I think I got it. You said Amos 5:4-6.
4-6. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, it says, now this is what the Lord says to the family of Israel. Come back to me and live. Don't worship at the pagan altars at Bethel. Don't go to the shrines at Gilgal or Beersheba, for the people of Gilgal will be dragged off into exile, and the people of Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Come back to the Lord and live. Otherwise, he will roar through Israel like a fire, devouring you completely. Your gods in Bethel won't be able to quench the flames. Amen.
Now, the reason we're going to do that tonight.
Sorry.
Go ahead, somebody say something. Mm-mm. The reason we're going to do that tonight, because our title is a rebuke from the Lord. So we kind of got to know what the Lord said. You know what I mean? Kind of got to just pay attention to what he's saying as we go on through this. Okay, Kat, go ahead. I'm sorry. We had the hating evil.
Oh, you want me to keep going?
Okay. Yep.
Hating evil, Amos 5:15. Here we see Amos giving an explanation similar to that of Micah 6:8. Three specific requirements are mentioned: hating evil, loving good, and establishing judgment. They were not just to avoid seeking evil, they were to hate it. Israel was not just to seek good, but to love it as well. Verses 14, 15. Israel needed to establish true justice instead of allowing the corruption that was so prevalent. The incentive accompanying these commands was that God might choose to be gracious to them. Is there any hope for such a wicked society? Yes, as long as the grace of God is at work. Worsby the Bible Exposition Commentary Cook.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, any comments on that?
Can you hear me, Diego?
I'm sorry?
I said, can you hear me, Diego? Good evening to you. This is Oliver.
What's up, my brother? You all right, brother Oliver?
Oh, yeah. I just took me a little. Yes, sir.
Right.
I just took me a little cat. So I'm fresh.
Okay.
Amen. Yes, sir. Okay. I'll check this out. As far as Israel doing bad, was this still back in the day where they were still worshiping idols for God to feel the way he does?
Well, yes, because if we go back to the scripture lesson text that Sister Rebecca read, she said, but you, verse 26 tells us, but you have borne the tabernacle of Moloch and Sion, your images, the star of your God, which he made to yourselves. They most definitely were. They
okay.
were still being bad kids. Okay? No matter. They were still somehow or another. You know, I don't know if anybody know about this cartoon that used to be, but the little worm, you say, if I do it, I get a whooping.
Well, I remember that.
I do it. Yeah.
I remember that.
And right now, what we read about when they say a reboot from the Lord, now, you know how the pastor sometimes, folks that don't go to Running for Christ, you guys understand what I'm saying. You know how the pastor would tell us sometimes, his dad used to tell him, you piling them up. Well, now they about to grab the pole. And you know what I mean, grabbing the pole.
Right.
And you can pile them up, put your hands on that pole, because you're about to get a whooping. Okay? And see, that,
okay.
like you said, they keep going back. And what was really crazy about this when I was reading it is that it kind of was like some of the oppression that people go through nowadays. It was, they was just chasing that paper again, if you understand what I'm saying. They
yes, sir.
Was just stacking their cash. You know, they okay, God, we know what you said, but at the same time, you know, I'm going to kind of put some of it over here to take care of myself, too. And at the same time, oppressing their own people. And that's one of the biggest things that God does not like. You know, the simple fact that you're oppressing your own people. If that answers your question.
Yes, sir, it does. Okay.
And three specific requirements. It was mentioned earlier, hating evil, loving good, and establishing judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially when it says Israel was not just to seek good, but to love it as well. And that's one of the requirements that God calls on each and every one of us. See, what we fail to understand sometimes or fail to overlook is that God got us. Just like if I was to talk about Amos again, just for a quick second. Amos was a shepherd. But at the same time, Amos heard directly from God, and Amos didn't fear anybody but God. So he went out boldly and talked about what God had to say. Because sometimes, anyway, that's enough of that. Let's move on to the next part. Next section. Hello?
No, right here. I'll take a fearful time.
A fearful time.
Okay, and it reads as follows. The day of the Lord, Amos Chapter 5, 18 through 19. The people were looking to imagine.
Father, do me a favor.
Yes,
excuse
sir.
For cutting you off. Father, do me a favor. A fearful time. You got your Bible with you?
No, sir. I'm using my phone back and forth and everything. I'll go get my Bible if you like.
Well, right now I'm going to just go ahead and read it. Is a fearful time, Amos 5:18. Sister Rebecca, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, do me a favor. Read Amos 5:18-20.
Okay. It reads as follows. What sorrow awaits you who say, if only the day of the Lord were here. You have no idea what you're wishing for. That day will bring darkness, not light. In that day, you will be like a man who runs from a lion only to meet a bear. Escaping from the bear, he leans his hand against the wall in his house, and he's bitten by a snake. Yes, the day of the Lord will be dark and hopeless, without a ray of joy or hope. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, my brother, go ahead and read that fearful time for me.
Yes, sir. The people were looking to imagine blessings of the day of the Lord without realizing that the judgments they longed for would not fall upon only their enemies as they expected. They assumed that because they were God's chosen people, they would have been showered with blessings while other nations would suffer great loss. But actually, justice would fall upon the rebellious people in Israel who were living according to their own ways and ignoring God and his ways. The difficulties of the day were pictured as Israel fleeing from one terrifying danger only to find themselves facing another one. It is like someone fleeing from a lion and suddenly encountering a bear, and to someone fleeing into a house of safety and being bitten by a serpent as he rested against the wall. Amen. So I'm reading this and everything. It's like since they know that they were chosen people, so they're trying to, how'd you say, like an in-between as far as, okay, well, we're chosen. So if we do so-and-so, so much of this, then we can escape the wrath of the Lord. Am I mistaken?
Okay. Well, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Like I said, they would be showered with blessings while other nations would suffer. In other words, God, okay, he loves me, so he's not going to hurt me. You know what I mean?
Right.
He loves me. He's not going to hurt me. We'll be all right. You know what I mean? We go back to that parent. You know, when your parent tells you, piling them up. You get in your mind, something inside of you says, well, she loved me. I'm her favorite child. I'm his favorite child. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. But see, this time, we see things a little different. What get me is that when we talk about someone fleeing from a lion and suddenly encountering a bear, or someone fleeing into a house for safety and being bitten by a serpent, see, Let's move on to go ahead and read that a day of darkness, and then we'll get the answer to that question you just asked.
Okay, I shall proceed on. Anybody else would like to take the helm of reading, or I'm going to go ahead and finish this. A day of darkening, Amos chapter 5:20. As if to emphasize the surety of this truth, Amos summarized by repeating his message about the darkness. He asked, how you say, theoretically, whether that day would be darkness instead of light. In fact, whether it will not be very dark and no brightness in it. Amen.
Amen. And see, that's why I had us read the scripture portion before. Because, you know, like when it said, when 18:20, when it said, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Now that woe part, you know, when you look in your Bible and you see woe, that should tell you that something's about to happen. Okay? And Amos listen directly to God. God's directly to Amos. Amos only repeated what God told him to say. When I was going through this, I was wondering, when I first started going through here, I was saying, well, who's talking, Lord? And then he showed me, as I was reading through the scripture, that when it say, because I was looking at the parts that say, the Lord, you look in there, and you say, well, the Lord says, Amos wasn't talking, I mean, God wasn't talking to the people. He was talking to Amos. And Amos just come out and said exactly what the Lord said. And see, that's what we as people should be really fearful of, when God stops talking, but he still has somebody in place that's going to come to tell you exactly what's going to go on. He never leaves you hanging. He'll send you into captivity, but he'll let you know that, you know, I got you. He always has somebody that he's going to let you know, that lets you know what's going on, like I just said. But talking to somebody earlier today, I had to laugh because we're going to get to a part where he's going to say, where you can call me, but I'm not going to answer. You can call me on the phone, but I ain't picking it up. You know, we have those by the phone to tell us who on the other end. If they don't answer the phone, ain't nothing you can say. Ain't nothing you're going to find out. So, but it's like we talk about the day of the Lord. When we talk about the day of the Lord, there's more than one day of the Lord reference in the Bible. But when we talk about the day of the Lord, the first thing we as Christians, when we say the day of the Lord, what do we think about?
When Jesus come back.
Exactly. When Jesus come back. But now we see there's more than one day of the Lord, isn't it? Because right now, yeah, Amos just told him the day of the Lord is going to be a day of darkness.
Okay.
And why? Let's get into why they're going to deal with this day of the Lord.
Okay.
The next section, I think, a rejected worship. Somebody want to read that for me?
We are free.
Okay, I'll read it.
Okay.
God,
I need the scripture. I need your scripture portion first.
All right. Verses 21 through 22. Yeah. It goes like this. I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. And so then in the lesson exposition, it says, God's disdain for religious practices. Amos 5, verse 21 through 22. Amos had been quoting God, verse 16. Note the terms God used to describe his rejection of Israel's worship. I hate, I despise, I will not smell, I will not accept, and neither will I regard. These are extremely emphatic expressions of his total rejection of what the Israelites were doing in their ritualistic practices. These rituals not only failed to accomplish anything, they actually aroused God's displeasure. The people were doing various things they thought would please God and bring his blessings to them. But God said he would not accept or even pay attention to those religious activities.
Isn't it amazing how sometimes we think that God is stupid? That's the only way I can think of to put it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. We say, well, if, like you were just saying just then, if we do this, you know, it'll make him happy. But at the same time, you doing this, but he knows all and he sees all. And what makes you think that he doesn't see what's really going on? You know, I had my mother told me once, when I was younger. Well, I carried you inside of me for 9 months. Don't you think I know what you're doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and to God the Father, it's kind of like an insult. But the great part about it, he doesn't stop loving us, but at the same time, the rebuke, that word just keeps jumping out at me, the rebuke, I got some laid up for you, you know, and like when Sister Rebecca just read, these are extremely emphatic expressions of his total rejection of what the Israelites were doing in their ritualistic practices. You know, these rituals not only failed to accomplish anything, but they actually aroused God's displeasure. And that's one thing we need to be conscious of sometimes. When it says arouse God's displeasure, you do not want to make God mad, okay, angry. I'm gonna use the word mad. You don't want to make God angry. You know, that's what these people were doing all through this. And you know how it is when you were younger, even now. Say you got a boss. I'm going to talk about the job. Say you got a boss, and you know what peeves him and what don't. At the same time, you kind of don't want to get on his bad side. But see, that's the only me that just got to talk like that. But now we can see that the people have gotten on his bad side. See, we always say the expression, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And he is a good God. But at the same time, you kind of might want to just make sure you keep him being that good God. Because as we're reading about right now, and this was back in Amos' time. We tell that verse, I, the Lord, do not change. So it's still happening. It's if you look around, I ain't going to get into that, but I'm going to just say this. If we look around at what's going on in our world today, are we, just a sidebar question, are we stirring the pot again? And remember, he's talking to his people. He's not talking to those that don't know him. Right now, he's talking to his people. Anyway, any questions on what we just read? God's desire for justice. Who's going to read that for me?
I got it, Brother Deacon.
Okay.
God's desire for justice, Amos chapter 5, 23 to 24. And it reads as follows. Even the musical phrase offered by the people of Israel was disgusting to God. The songs and the playing of their instruments had neither meaning nor pleasure for him. God is far more interested in the condition of our hearts than he is in wonderful worship performances. Amen on that. Amos had already described the worldly conditions of the hearts of the people of Israel, so he is again emphasizing the reason for God's rejection for their worship. God really wanted worship and godly living that went together. Instead of feasts and fasts, instead of offerings and sacrifices, instead of singing and playing instruments, the Lord said he wanted justice and righteousness. Amen.
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 Any comments on that section right there?
Yes, Brother Deacon and teacher. You know, this kind of reminds me of all the different scenarios that we have about religions as far as how we serve God, you know, like shouting and dancing on the floor, speaking in tongues, you know, all these things that doesn't coincide how God has us to worship. Amen?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, okay. I could jump in there for a quick second. This is real deep. This is real deep. God is saying, look, you know, close the church up, fire the musicians, get rid of everybody. I'm not saying y'all can't play the instruments. I ain't saying you can't sing the songs. You even know how to worship. But your heart, and with your mouth, with your lips, you're worshiping me, but in your heart, you're far from me. So go ahead and shut the church down till y'all get that together, because that's something that we want to be. What we are in church, we want to be at home. I was teaching a class or something, and I guess, you know, one of the parents was really amen and then hallelujah and everything that came out my mouth. But at the end of the service, I told y'all this before, one of the children came up to me and said, because I guess they thought I believed the praise I was saying. And so they said, I want you to know that at my house it's not like that. That's just here at home. It ain't like that. That's sad. That is sad that we in church one way, but then when we in the world, when we at home, we another way. When we outside the walls of the local congregation of baptized believers, we something else. Like, how are we on our job? How are we in the store? How are we driving down the road? That's what the Lord is saying. But they were really bad because I heard y'all discussing earlier how when, like Deacon Tate said, they must think God's stupid. I mean, you know, I see you over there with your boy Chimash hanging out with them, sacrificing your kids, and now you over here. Like, you really love me, and really? You think I'm blind? Can't hear? So, yeah, that's what he's saying. Like, you know, y'all just need to go ahead on and just quit. Just quit, because you'll be all right. You know, I got a fix coming for you. You'll be all right.
Right.
Playing God like he's a joke, you know. So now he says, "Okay, we have something to play. I got a game for you to play. Can you play Babylon?" That's the name of the game, Babylon.
Thanks, Pastor Cassette. Yes, like I told you, when I was going through this, it's a short lesson, but
I'm telling you. It's like, okay, that's enough of this. That's just, you know, like, it's Amos is out there like, you know, now y'all know I ain't even no prophet. I'm just over here with these sheep, and now I'm over here like this, so y'all in trouble. I don't do this. I'm not a prophet. I'm a shepherd. And y'all got God so mad he sent me over here. So, you know.
And you know what, Pastor? That's a good point, because I'm pretty sure it was people that were supposed to be leading them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There you go.
So,
you know, this is really... This is like, don't even worry about it. Don't worry about it. You don't even have to confess. My buddy coming. My therapist is coming. This may never to never. You'll be all right. After about 70 years.
Would you say, John? I'm sorry, Deacon. Would you say this is the origin of how the Pharisees and Sadducees started to, how did you influence the people back in Jesus' day?
Well, I'm going to answer this like this. You know, sometimes we try, I mean, it's similar. you know, because we not just go through the Pharisees. We even move into our own time right now where we still got people. You know, this is still going on.
Yes,
what we're reading about right now. This is still going on in today's time. You know, we haven't changed any. And the influence part, yeah, possibly. But the reality of it is that we all have the ability to decide to decipher what's right and what's wrong. So when it comes down to influence, we all have the ability to say yes or no. Am I going to go this way or am I going to go that way? And we're quick to blame somebody else. We'll say, well, they led me into this. I was talking to my friend earlier, and we thought about sheep. But we're not sheep. We all decide, we all have the ability to decide what's right and what's wrong. But mm-hmm. we choose to follow what seems to be more convenient for us. Because right now in this time that we read about, it was the rich people that were oppressing the poor people. And that's what drew God's ire. It was the rich people that was oppressing the poor people.
Okay.
And we as people are really bad about that. You know, like, okay, I got mine, you got to get yours, but while you getting yours, you know, I need you to keep feeding mine. But the bottom line is that in answer to your question, I guess it could have, this is the beginning, but if you notice too, if you read back in the Bible, this has been going on since the beginning of time. Just like Pastor just said, you said, that's all right, you go ahead. I got somebody coming for you. Because if we read in our Bibles over and over and over again, we have this has been repeated. We hear from the Lord. We say that we all the way back to Joshua's time. You know what I mean? When he
yeah.
was saying, choose you this day who you serve, we hear from the Lord. And then the next best thing, what we think is the next best thing, come along, and we just drift on off to something else. So as far as influence, we are sheep. We need a leader. But at the same time, we all have the ability to say, well, that's not right. And that's not right, just like Amos was doing. Like Pastor just said, Amos was just a shepherd. He came in, he heard directly from the Lord. And the Lord speaks to those that are willing to listen to him. And we choose to listen to everything but him sometimes, if that answers your question.
All right. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Thank you,
yeah.
sir.
On them Pharisees, just to pick up on that a little bit, the Pharisees, they are a direct product of they came along during the intertestamental period when Israel went from one therapist to another, from Babylon to the Medo-Persians to the Greeks and then to the Romans. And that's when the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Herodians, and the Zealots, all these, and the Essenes, all these groups came along during that time. They were all a response to the Babylonian captivity, which was the Babylonian captivity, the Medo-Persian, the Greek, the Romans. All these groups formed because of what was happening to them to try to figure out a way to rescue themselves. The Zealots, they're going to kill all the Romans. And Essenes, they're like, y'all Jews is the reason this stuff is happening to us, so we going over here to the caves of Qumran. We're going to go over here to Herodium and stay there and do it our way. And so you had each of the Pharisees became a little political group. And then the Sadducees said, we like Greek culture. It seems a little bit freer to us. So they became the Sadducees, the Hellenists. And so everybody split into their own little political party, trying to preserve, all of them thought they were doing what they needed to preserve Israel. But, yeah, they, like Deacon Tate said, They were the ones who were leading the people, but the people all knew the word of God. Because when we hear Peter get that first sermon, all that stuff was verbatim out of him and from Stephen. That stuff wasn't coming off a scroll or out of a book. They knew that stuff. But like Deacon Tate said, everybody know right from wrong. They knew what they were doing. John the Baptist running around like, look, if you don't know, now you know, okay? Because they came to him and asked him, what do we do to demonstrate that we've changed or demonstrate righteousness? He said, well, you got two coats. See homie over there shivering to death? What do you think he should do? And to the soldiers, he said, you see that man? Don't rob him through violence. What's wrong with you? And he told the tax collectors, that man owed $10. Why are you handing him a $20 bill? So he told them to do right and to do justice, just like they're being told. And again, when Deacon Tate talked about who it is that's causing the problem, it's these rich people, the same ones that Nehemiah had to deal with for doing the same thing, oppressing their own people. You know God said you can't loan your own Israelites money and charge them interest. You can get your money back, but you can't charge them interest. And after 7 years, if they ain't paid you, too bad, you out. And then after 50 years, everybody, the Jubilee comes, everybody is set free, everything go back to the way it was before it all got messed up. So, you know, they knew, but they chose to do wrong. And now they done piled them up. And it's time to get that whooping.
Yes.
It's time to get that whooping. Now, I don't care who told you what. You know what I said. You know, if your friends jump off a bridge, you're going to jump too. I know we done heard that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I told you not to get on the bridge, but you went up there anyway. So, yeah, I'm going to light you up. Remember how our parents used to explain to us why we were getting it? You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that was the worst part. You had to listen to that
yes,
and then still get the woman.
Yes, right. And that's what's happening here. The Lord is explaining to them why they're about to get it, and they still don't get it. They went right into captivity. I mean, when you read about Jeconiah or Zedekiah, the last one, the last little fake king, they had made a deal with Nebuchadnezzar to pay taxes. But then his little 400 fake prophets told him, man, you don't even need to do that. And if he tried to come back, we can get help from Egypt. You ain't even got to pay him. So he didn't. Well, he sent his boy Nebuchadnezzar to pick up that check. And they placed a siege on them until everybody was in there eating their kids. And, you know what happened in the end. Zedekiah, the last thing he saw was his seven sons being slain. And then they blinded him. And so, you know, all of that could have been avoided if he had listened to Jeremiah. But they just would not listen. And then for their good, God sent Nebuchadnezzar, and then the Media Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans is where we find them in the New Testament. So, yeah, but they should have just listened because they knew.
Mm-hmm.
They were well-versed in the Bible, Old Testament.
Amen.
Okay, we got one more section to read. I deserve recompense. Who's going to read that for me? Kathy, Rebecca, I got somebody still out there?
Sure. The one that's called God's Desire. No, that's not it. You mean a deserve recompense?
Yep.
An indictment. Amos 5, 25 and 26. And it reads as follows. Was it to me you were bringing sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, Israel? No, you serve your pagan gods, Sakuth, your king god, and Kaiwan, your star god, the images you made for yourself. So I will send you into exile to a land east of Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of Heaven's Armies. So in the book it says an indictment. Amos asked Israel whether they had truly offered sacrifices to God during the 40 years of wilderness wandering. The problem was that they had also practiced idolatry during those years, in gods they had made for themselves. You want me to read the rest?
Go ahead and read the rest of it.
A just punishment. God would judge Israel by sending them into captivity beyond Damascus. Their pretense of worship never fooled him. Amen.
Amen. Like I say, beyond Damascus.
Right.
About to take a trip.
Like I'm going to knock you in the next week.
It's like the song by the Beatles, A Long and Winding Road.
Yeah, it's about to go on a road.
Like Sister Rebecca just read, the problem was they had also practiced idolatry during those years, worshiping God that they had made for themselves. Pastor, like you said, they knew what the word said. Thou shalt have no other God before me. You know, and I mean, it's amazing how we keep coming up with all these little G gods. And we still do it today.
Yes, we do.
We just like this same God has changed his mind.
Okay, question. Do you think it's because of the sin defect that we were born with, the reason why they couldn't get it together? Like, is it because of the Holy Spirit that we have that makes us stronger, or are we just as weak as they are?
Good question.
I'm going to answer that like this. Let me make sure I say this just like it ran through my head and left out. Y'all pray for me. When we were younger, we were taught what was right and what was wrong. You know, even if we didn't know, we learned as we was coming up. Most people were. Well, everybody knows what's right and wrong. And God made us different from everybody else, from the animals, because he gave us choice. I like it when people ask me sometimes, well, what made God so special? See, why did he do that? Because of the fact that if he hadn't did that, he would be what I like to call a dictator. So he made us be able to choose. But what was your question again?
Do you think the Holy Spirit has more strength than they had, or do you think we're just as weak as they were?
Of course we, in answer to your question, of course we're weak, but those that believe have the Holy Spirit in them, and, okay, Pastor, I'm going to throw this one at you, because I like Rebecca's question.
That's a very good question.
Back in their time. Yeah,
what is the difference between us and them? Well, you always had people like Joseph who would go to the nth degree to obey God, but he didn't have the Holy Spirit. Then you had people like Jacob versus Esau who would obey God, but he didn't have the Holy Spirit. You had Abraham who got up from among his kindred and acquaintance, went to the place God showed him. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. You had Noah who built the boat. According to God's directions, you had Enoch who walked with God. So what it is and what God has proven throughout time, it is a devotion to God. You had Cain and you had Abel. You had Abel who did it just like God said, do it, and his heart was in it. And then you have Cain who did part of it, but his heart wasn't in it. He like Israel right now. Same thing. He's doing the ritual, but his heart is not in it. And so us today, we do have the Holy Spirit. That simply means that we are not like them. The Holy Spirit would come on them and then leave. That's why David prayed, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Or God would give the Holy Spirit to a person to effect his will, like he did to Moses and like he did to Joshua, like he did to the judges who would pop up and do things for him, like he did to Saul, like he did to David. But the Spirit would be on that single person, not on everybody. It was under Moses that God gave Aholiab and Bezalel the Holy Spirit for the purpose of doing the work God wanted them to do so they would have that special guidance, right? But today we have the Holy Spirit, and yes, we are just as weak as they were, but we have a complete revelation. We have a whole Bible, and we have the Holy Spirit, and God has given us everything that we need to live godly lives. So in a sense, 1 second. We are not just like them. Okay, because we have the Holy Spirit and he's here with us all the time. But we are just as human as they were. We have the same sin nature they had. But then when the Holy Spirit comes on us, we have a new nature from God. And so now we don't have to sin. Like Romans chapter 6 makes it clear. In the first part, it talks about sin used to be our master. And we didn't have no choice. But now that we've given our lives to Christ and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, like Deacon Tate was saying, we get to choose what we do and who we serve. Before we had no choice. Satan was our master. For instance, the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, when Satan needed them to raid Job as a part of his plan to make Job cuss God out and walk away, he took the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans and used them like they were puppets to do his will. They had no choice, okay? He was their master. And it was the same with us. Sin was our master, but now Jesus Christ is our master. And we can literally say no to sin. Yes, it's going to be a sacrifice. Yes, we might have to suffer. But we can't say no to sin and yes to God.
Right. On that.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm. But we still give whoopings to you.
Oh, yes, we do. Well, he switched it up from calling it condemnation and punishment. He calls it discipline now. Yeah. You know, the Hebrews 12, what father doesn't discipline his kids? And if you're not disciplined, then you're not God's at all. So he calls it discipline, and it's for our – he disciplines us for our good, that we might share in his holiness and righteousness. So, yeah.
And come back.
We can't be lost because we are saved unless we just walk away or become apostates. But other than that, you cannot be lost. You know, so but you can be corrected. You can be reviewed.
Good question, Sister Rebecca. Yeah. Really good question.
Yes,
thank
it was. Very good.
Yeah. Thank you. Now you keep me from getting some whooping sometime.
Yeah.
I'm gonna remember what you just said. You don't have to get a whooping, but if you want one, you can do that. Okay,
yeah.
Where we at? Question number one.
Yes, sir.
Going to the questions. Okay. According to Amos, if Israel wanted to avoid God's punishment, what should she have sought?
That's the first paragraph. It says, this chapter begins as a funeral dirge for Israel, verses 1 through 3, but Amos still calls for them to see God in hopes of escaping his judgment. Another call is given in verse 14 where the prophet said the Israelites ought to seek good instead of evil. As his people obey him and walk in his ways, the Lord walks with them through the challenges of life. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. Mm-hmm. Question number two. What three things did Amos emphasize in explaining where Israel's thoughts should be?
Yes, sir. That would be the second paragraph up under that. And it reads as follows. We here see Amos giving an explanation similar to that of Micah. Three specific requirements are mentioned: hating evil, loving good, and establishing judgment. They were not just to avoid seeking evil, they were to hate it. Israel was not just to seek good, but to love it. It as well. Okay, amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, question number three. What was the incentive accompanying the command requiring these three things?
That's on page 56, the last paragraph. It says, the incentive accompanying these commands was that God might choose to be gracious to them.
Hmm. I think there's some, so that's the incentive. So God always gives you the incentive that I might choose to be gracious to you. And they still. Question number four. What wrong idea did Israel have regarding the day of the Lord?
It's over for a while. I don't know what happened, but you know, when you got to live in a hotel.
Okay. I would say it would be upon a fearful time. And it reads as follows. Okay. The people were looking to imagine blessings of the day of the Lord without realizing that the judgments they longed for would not fall upon only their enemies as they expected. They assumed that because they were God's chosen people, they would be showered with blessings while other nations would suffer great losses. But actually, justice would fall upon the rebellious people in Israel who were living according to their own ways and ignoring God and his ways. Amen.
Amen. Question number five. How did Amos describe what was coming in the day of the Lord, and how did he emphasize that truth?
It says in the middle, down somewhere, Oliver read it. So the difficulties of that day are pictured as Israel fleeing from one terrifying danger only to find themselves facing another one. It is likened to someone fleeing from a lion and suddenly encountering a bear, and to someone fleeing into a house for safety and being bitten by a serpent as he rested against the wall.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Read that, A Day of Darkness, for me, too.
A Day of Darkness, it says, mm-hmm. as if he emphasized the surety of this truth, Amos summarized by repeating his message about the darkness. He asked rhetorically whether that day will not be darker instead of light. Light, in fact, whether it will not be very dark and no brightness in it. Mm.
Okay. Question number six. How did Amos describe the terror that would occur at that time?
Uh,
I think that's on page 56. In the second column, the second paragraph, it says, the difficulties of that day are pictured as Israel fleeing from one terrifying... Oh, Sister Kathy just read that. I picked that for number 6.
I thought number 6 was a day of darkness, actually.
Okay.
I must have got that wrong.
Is that right, Deacon Tate?
Well,
yeah, I had a day of darkness for number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just read
that's
that.
That's what I had for number 6, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so now question number 7.
Mm-hmm.
How did God describe how he felt about the Israelites' worship practices?
It says, if God's disdain for religious practice, Amos had been quoting God. Note the term God used to describe his rejection of Israel's worship. I hate, I despise, I will not smell, I will not accept, and neither will I regard. These are extremely emphatic expressions of his total rejection of what the Israelites were doing in their ritualistic practices. These rituals not only failed to accomplish anything, they actually aroused God's displeasure.
How can it not make it more plain than that? You know what I mean? I hate,
right.
I won't smell, I won't accept, and I won't regard. You know that? Question number 8. What did he say about their music?
That would be up under God's desire for justice. And it reads as follows. Even the musical phrases offered by the people of Israel was disgusting to God. Their song and the playing of the instruments had neither meaning or pleasure for him. Amen.
You know, when I get to that question, I'm going to just have to read what it said. That's verse 23. Away with the noise of your songs. I would not listen to the music of your hearts. You know what I mean? Away. So in other words, get that out of here. I don't even want it. Anyway, that's just me. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Question number 9. What was the reason of God's negative reaction to the worship?
In the trunk of nobody's motherfucking car with a
hood. Oh. What was the reason of God's negative reaction to the worship?
Okay, let's see if I got this one right. Page 57, number 9. In the bottom of the first column, it says, God is far more interested in the condition of our hearts than he is in a wonderful worship performance. Amos had already described the worldly condition of the hearts of the people of Israel, so he is again emphasizing the reason for God's rejection of their worship. God really wanted worship and godly living that went together.
Okay, now read the first part of that too for me.
Even God's desire for justice?
Yep.
Even the musical praise offered by the people of Israel was disgusting to God. Their songs and the playing of their instruments had neither meaning nor pleasure for him.
Mm-hmm. Order that together. Okay, we'll get, question number 10. What did God say about the coming judgment upon Israel?
He said, God would judge Israel by sending them into captivity beyond Damascus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The presence of worship never fooled them. Okay, that covers our questions. Now, let's read our practical points. Our sins bring God's wrath. Somebody read those practical points for me.
Our sins bring God's wrath. Those who hope to escape his punishment must repent and seek to do good. Romans 5:14-15. And to pressure upon God's mercy is to guarantee some sorrow in the day of judgment. Verses 18-20. Religious practices is detestable to God if it is not accompanied by just conduct. Verses 21-22. Words of praise cannot offset a lack of justice. Verses 23-24. And those who refuse to honor God inevitably fall into idolatry. Verses 25-26. And God's kindness and patience toward us does not preclude judgment if we continue in sin. Verses 27.
Okay, and I like how Sister Rebecca, the golden text eliminated. Hate the evil and love the God and establish, love the good and establish judgment in the gates. The instructions of this week's golden text are easy to understand, but that does not mean they're always easy to follow. They go beyond simply following the rules. They speak to our heart attitude. We are not just to do good and not do evil, although these things are certainly required, but we are to love what is good and hate what is evil. We are to feel this way because we love God, and God is good and loves what is good, and God hates evil too. Proverbs 6:16-19. Our culture was not friendly to the idea of abhorring evil, but in reality, such a stance is simply the natural accompaniment of love. Amos was particularly concerned with social right and wrong within the nation of Israel. He sharply criticized the self-indulgent spirit and oppression he saw all around him. In the golden text, he makes special mention of fairness in the courts, established judgment at the gate, in the gate. The rich were taking advantage of the poor. The judges were taking bribes and not ruling justly. We can rightly apply the denunciation of social evils in ancient Israel to the injustices we see in modern society. As good citizens, we should be very concerned about such things. But we must also remember that the new covenant counterpart, to the old covenant is the church. So we need to take even greater care to make sure that our churches set high standards of fairness and impartiality. Okay, people, I'm done. That's it.
All right.
Any questions or comments?
Good class.
Very good class. Very good class. It just lets us know that we haven't changed out of all these years of our practices as how they were back in them days, except that now that we have the Holy Spirit since the death of Jesus Christ, that's the only, how would you say, I can't say leeway if I'm using the wrong term, but we do have an advantage, how's that, than what they did back in the day. We don't have to sacrifice. Our sacrifice was Jesus Christ, so it puts us a little bit ahead now than what they were back then.
Yeah, and at the same time, like you say, we do have the advantage. We go back to what Mama used to say, I told you. You know
right.
What I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So.
And you did.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, that advantage that we have is the Holy Spirit. And it's a wonderful advantage to have. But at the same time, you know yourself, when you did something that you knew you wasn't supposed to do, you know, you, let's say, got double for your trouble.
Right.
So that's our advantage. That is our advantage. It's a wonderful thing to have. But, you know, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, but then he clean you up.
Yes, sir.
All right, people, I'm tired. Y'all made my head hurt. Not really. But, that's a short little lesson. It's amazing.
It is. A short little lesson, but a big lesson.
Yes.
It teaches us to be, what it's really talking about is be serious. God wants us to be serious with him. He don't want us to be fake with people, and he definitely don't want us to be fake with him. And we should be real with him. That's all he wants. That's it. If we say that we are Christian, we are his children because we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, as he says in Colossians, then stop lying to one another because you're brothers and sisters in the same body. You're on the same team, the quarterback lying to the tight end, talking about, yeah, man, go long, I'm going to throw you the pass. But he lying. That's kind of crazy, right? You know what I mean? So that's how it looks to God, especially when we try to lie to him. And think about how many lies we've told when we were younger and we was crazy. We grew up and figured it out. And then people come walking to us, young, lying. Loan me $20. I got you pay my light bill and buy a whole refrigerator full of groceries. You know, really, for 20. But you know what I mean?
Right.
So God wants us to be real with him. That's all. So he can help us. That's all he wants to do. See, he's a gentleman. He's not going to bum rush his way in or make you worship him. He wants you to come in and ask him how to fix something. And trust me, he'll do it. He
yes,
just
he
wants
will.
To be invited in. He don't want to force people to be his subjects, his children. That's what he wants, children, right? We're the children of God. We're his sons and daughters. That's the way he always refers to us in the New Testament, as sons and daughters. And so since we are his sons and daughters, he just wants to bless us. We are who we are. We do what we do. But we shouldn't try to hide that from him or get into a fight with him talking about ain't nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Well, if God comes at you and says something wrong with what you're doing, what he means is there's a blessing over here. There's a better life right here. But this is blocking you from that. And you think this is making your life better. Cain and Abel believed it. I mean, Adam and Eve believed they ate from that tree. Life was going to be better. They really believed that. And they went as far as to try to make it happen. And did their life get better? You can't live apart from God. And that's what God wants to stop. He wants to stop Israel from trying to live apart from him and then believing and giving their allegiance to gods that don't even exist. They fake, made up in men's minds. And so he just don't want them falling off like that. And it's the same for us today. But, yes, it's true. We have the Holy Spirit, but God got that discipline thing going. I can tell you about that because he really loved me because he disciplined me a lot. Well, you know, he's just like my father. My father loved me. He disciplined me a lot, and now my God loves me, and he disciplines. But his discipline is different because he says that our parents did it in hopes of making us better. But they were only hoping. They didn't really know what they were doing right or wrong. But he does it, and he knows it's going to make you better. But like you say, no discipline is pleasant while you're going through it.
No.
So you might not want to go through it.
No, no.
You know.
What do you say?
This is my wife's grandmother telling me.
Mm.
My wife's grandmother said, Reverend Overall, seemed like you like to learn everything the hard way. And I'm like, you know what, Lord? I think I need to change my way. Because she's right. And, you know, I learned how to pay child support after getting locked up in Detroit House of Corrections.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Exactly. So you might want to just go ahead and pay and not get a show cause, because you won't be able to show cause. You're going somewhere. So
you send you to jail and let you out on Easter Sunday morning.
Easter
right.
is a resurrection. That's when you came in, ain't it? Wasn't that March 27, 2005?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or March, April, something like that.
It was
came
March.
That Sunday and been
March
there ever since. Just locked up, but not locked up. Locked up at night. Yeah, come sleep here at night like Otis on Andy Griffin. And then go home in the morning. That was a trip. I'm like, Jesus, how's somebody locked up, not locked up? Yeah, but anyway, God just wants us to be, you know, blessed, really. That's all he wants. He don't have no, I want to punish people for sin. I hope they don't listen to me so they'll go to hell. He's not like that. He only wants children. Not because he needs them and can't be God without them. Who knows how long he was God before he released them. So, you know what I mean? He has no beginning. So he's not lonely, but he just wants family. And boy, who wouldn't want a father as rich and as kind?
Come on.
He is so unbelievable. We his children, and we struggle with believing that we even saved. Because we know us, right? But he's our father. He cannot wait till we get to Revelation 21 and 22 so he can just, I mean, he's infinite, so he will never run out of ideas of things to keep you entertained, as best I can explain it. And he does it, why? Because he wants to. What is Jose Feliciano, what was that? Well, just keep on using me until you use me up, if that's the way you do it. you just want to bless me? Well, I just want to be blessed. But he wants us to work for him now in this toe-up, crapped-out world. He wants us to tell people about Jesus, do what Deacon Tate did tonight, teach people in Christ, and then help somebody like Deacon Tate did earlier. He can't tell y'all this, but he worked with through the school and came across 12 turkeys and brought them down, and 12 people got blessed today with turkeys, and they was just so happy. One lady couldn't stop crying. So, yeah, that's all. That's all right. That's what he wants. See, that's stuff that nobody knows. See, he can't tell you or he'll lose his blessing, but I ain't do it. He did it, so I can talk about it all I want. Plus, he my boy. He blessed, I'm blessed. Mary like, well, he my husband. He blessed, I blessed first.
Yeah, like you said, but God. That's it.
But God.
Same, but God. That's all it is. Like, what did Craig say? What you say? What did Craig say? You always talk about it. Yeah.
See me giving out money so folks can eat? It's really God working through me, dog. I ain't that sweet. I cracked up when I first heard that. Because, I mean, that just helps me out a lot. But then God gave me a wife who loved to give. So I'm saved through her. Because, you know, I don't mind giving. I just don't. If I got to go get it, you ain't going to get it. So, but she'll go get it. I just want you to have it. You know, but she'll actually go get it and give it to you. But I just want you to have it. that ain't a whole lot of good. Like James say, I'll say be warmed and filled. James said, well, what good is that? My wife, she'll actually give you a plate of food. I just want you to have one. So, you know, he put us together. That way we balance out. What I don't do, she'll do. So people thank me all the time about that card they got. And I'll be like, yeah, I picked that out just for you. I don't even know what they're talking about. Then they look at me like, you know your wife picked that out. Why you even say that? Not she ain't giving me the time sign. This Deacon Tate's fault. He's just letting me talk like this. So give him the time sign. It's his fault.
Same thing. Tomorrow Thanksgiving. So ain't nobody got to go to work tomorrow. Ain't nobody got to do nothing. Can watch TV all night and eat Cheetos. But
in the way of announcements, Bring Back the Family is resting this weekend. I think I heard Deacon Clyburn say, let family be with family and all that good stuff. Plus, people be all full anyway, sitting on there going, oh, I'm still full from yesterday. So, plus it's Black Friday. Well, you know, people going to be black and Friday. I really don't know what that's all about. But anyway, Saturday, who do we have preaching this Saturday? Oh, Sarah Tate McClendon. Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon will be up preaching this Saturday. And, of course, Sunday I'm going to be talking about, what am I going to be talking about? The glory of the new covenant. Praise God. The glory of the new covenant. Can't even remember it. I'm a preacher, right? Me and Janet switched up. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, it's going to be the glory. I know y'all saying, wait a minute, it's the fourth Sunday. You preaching? Yeah, Janice preached, I think, on the second Sunday, closing side at the school. So that throws me up for the fourth Sunday. And then I can close out for what God got coming in mid-December somewhere. So plus all this other stuff, the Monday night class, that's going to be for 4 weeks. It'll end just before Christmas. So there you go.
All right.
All right. Somebody pray us out of here.
Oh, what? Okay. Darius had surgery today. We need to pray for him. And
right on. Amen.
My little kids, Landon and Anaya. And Aubrey lost their great grandma.
Little
one. Yeah, that's it.
And keep all the mothers in prayer.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll volunteer to enter some prayers. And one mine.
Right here, my brother.
No,
right here.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson that we received today to let us know that in our time and future where we're living right now, we are no different than what they were back in that day, Father, except for technology. Father, we just ask that you enter into our lives as you did with them and make our hearts clean and pure as much as possible. Even though we do have a sinful nature, Father, but we know that we can rely on you, Father. We can rely on you through your Son, Jesus Christ, to change everything around it that definitely to our benefit. So, Father, we just ask that you strengthen us through the Holy Spirit to keep this that Jesus gave us after he ascended to heaven, so we can keep this until the day we die and see you, Father, in heaven. In your son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 Love y'all. See you Sunday.
Okay. Hey, just before we jump off, y'all will notice in the very back of your books, I don't know if you have, but you probably have, they have daily Bible readings for home study and worship. Take advantage of that. And then the paragraphs on places and people, take advantage of that. Grab that knowledge and grab that information. And, you know, then you can have yourself, they have this laid out where you can go through 7 days and actually go through the whole quarter. So in the new book that's coming up, take advantage of that. It'll help you, you know, to get through your days and help increase your Bible knowledge. Okay. Okay. All minds are clear?
Yes, sir.
Have a blessed Thanksgiving. Eat too much and then work out Friday. You'll be just fine. You'll be all right. Every time I hear somebody say that, I'm thinking about God coming against Israel. You know, don't worry about it. You'll be all right. Okay, God bless you. God keep you. Thank you, Dr. Tate. Appreciate you.
Man.
Thank you, Mary, for loaning us your husband. We appreciate you.
Yes.
All right, y'all. Check this out. It's called About Love Sometimes.
About Love Sometimes. You know, love is tough. You have to roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty. It's not something that's always soft and easy.
There are days when love is a fight, no holds barred, tooth and claw. Compromise means losing a piece of dignity. Your territory must be defended.
When love hurts, it's like no other misfortune. Your heart on fire. Torn, broken.
But love doesn't give up. It comforts, restores, gives dignity, freedom, heals with faith, erupts with commitment, compassion. About love sometimes.